broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 14th in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, and to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Absolutely. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, is our guide. It's got incredible checks and balances designed to chain down those who would steal power unrighteously. Folks, we don't seek for power. We seek to pull it down. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. I've been hanging out with Scott Bradley and Lowell Nelson and Lance Migliaccio and George Ballantine and Lowell Nelson and just great people doing a great job on a variety of topics. We talked about Mark Green. Mark Green will not seek re-election after the leading the impeachment of HS Secretary Mayorkas. So he's not going to be there. Joe Manchin floats Mitt Romney, or Rob Portman is a VP pick. Now it turns out Joe's not even going to be running. Anyway, we talked about a lot of different things on your radio. Chicago drops the program called ShotSpotter, which is this echo chamber. It's a eyes and ears microphone camera listening system to try to find out where shots are. And Mayor Johnson says city won't pursue contract with the provider because it's inaccurate, not reliable. The system, which relies on, quote, artificial intelligence algorithms and a network of microphones to identify where shots came from via triangulation, it's got bias in it, inaccuracy, racial bias, the list goes on and on and on. And Chicago's contract with a company called Sound Thinking, a public safety and technology company, says its shot system is used in over 150 municipalities, but since 2018, Chicago has spent $49 million on it, and they say that it doesn't produce the results. Several of the 51 former intelligence officials signing a letter casting doubt on the authenticity of Hunter Biden's laptop, they're promoting it. Yeah, it's out of control, folks, everywhere we look. All right, there you have it. Also, special counsel Jack Smith collected data from the cell phone Trump used in the White House, according to a recent report filing. So here's my question. They say any investigative leads pointing to Joe Biden were literally off the table for the discussion. Well, here's my question. If they use cell phone data to decide where Donald Trump was during January the 6th, if they're using cell phone data to find out that, you know what, Nathan Wade went to Fannie Willis's home many, many times, how can they then claim that the phone data used in the 2000 Mules film is bogus? How can they use it when they want to, and when they don't want it to count, they claim that it's not true and that it doesn't work and that it's not real? Again, another example where we caught them lying. All right, without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good to be with you, Sam. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and it sounds like a big rest in peace, R.I.P., for our dear friend. Lowell?
Yep, John F. Mess, who served as a basically the leader of the John Birch Society for many, many years. He passed away last week, March 4th, 2024. So, as you know, Sam, he was a man who spent his life fighting for his country. He joined the Marines. He fought for the country as a Marine and then as a member of the John Birch Society. He's known as Jack. Even though his first name was John, people like to call him Jack, and that's how his friends and colleagues knew him anyway. Passed away at the age of 89, Sam. That's a good life. His most popular program that he produced for the John Birch Society was called An Overview of America. And it's a 2.5-hour program. If you've never seen it, you need to see it. I'm sure you've seen it, Sam, but if any of our listeners haven't, then you can get it from the JBS, jbs.org, or shopjbs.org. Marvelous piece. He's able to teach important and vital concepts undergirding our republic in a way that they're simple and easy to understand. He's just a gifted teacher that way.
Yes, he is. And by the way, there's a soundbite that we have from Ron Paul's event in 2008 where he spoke boldly, nobly, and independently. Liz, you want the soundbite that's in the folder. Check this out. Here he is.
Yeah.
You know, the founders, they wrote the Constitution to bind down the government from mischief, said Jefferson. Then they added the Bill of Rights. And you all know what those 10 amendments say. Government shall not, shall not, shall not, shall not, all the way up to the marvelous 10th Amendment that says, if we forgot anything, you can't do that either.
Now, do you want to respond? I mean, that's just so good, such a short soundbite, but man, that encapsulates his whole life's stand in the media and with the John Birch Society and with the New American, and everywhere he went, that typified who he was, right?
Absolutely, Sam. And I was there. I listened to that entire speech. It was a marvelous tribute. And what he said is absolutely right. I mean, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. And if we forgot anything, then he can't do that either. I just love the way he put that. Very apt description of the 10th Amendment and really what the blueprint of the liberty in the Constitution is for us. So just a little bit about Jack and his life here. He's a native of Brooklyn, New York, educated by the Jesuits at Brooklyn Preparatory School, continued that education when he first came to Worcester, Massachusetts to enroll in the College of the Holy Cross. While he was there at the Cross, he became a midshipman in the NROTC. And upon graduation, having received a bachelor's degree in physics, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Marines. Following a 3-year tour of active duty, Jack left the Corps to pursue a career as an electronics engineer. He's very talented in his field. In fact, he received an award from the U.S. Air Force for his successful design of a component used in the production of third-generation jet fighters. So not only was he an astute scholar, and a political scientist, but boy, very technically gifted. As a loyal veteran, Jack is a patriotic American and a committed Catholic. He was attracted to the John Birch Society because of the organization's dedicated opposition to atheistic communism. In 1966, Jack McManus commenced a 58-year professional association with the John Birch Society. He collaborated closely with the founder, Robert Welch, and he did a lot of writing, teaching, lecturing, and he's a media spokesman for the JBS. He appeared frequently on national radio and television, including many programs hosted by Pat Buchanan. Some also remember Jack as an articulate, highly informed, always compelling guest on the Boston Talk Radio. He's the author of several books and was the publisher of magazine, The New American. He began as a New England field coordinator in 1966, became a director of public affairs in 73, and from 91 to 2015, he served as the president of the John Birch Society. From the 2015 until his death last week, he held the title of president emeritus. He's a longtime friend and supporter of the Slaves of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the St. Benedict Center, now located in Richmond. He's an occasional speaker at the annual St. Benedict Center Conference and contributed some notable articles to the center's website, Catholicism.org. He's happily married for 65 years to the late Mary O'Reilly McManus, who died in May of 23, that's just 1 year ago. He's a pious, Orthodox, traditional Catholic, was a valiant defender of his country and its founding. He's also a Christian gentleman and an old friend. he will be sorely missed. And so, Sam, I was at that rally in 2008 in Minneapolis where Jack spoke. And
go ahead, skip the break. This is just too good. Continue, Lowell.
McManus commented after he gave that talk that that audience was the largest audience ever addressed by a speaker for the JBS. As I recall, there were at least between 11 and 12,000 people there gathered in the arena. It's a basketball arena there where the Mavericks played.
Yeah, Ron Paul was popular, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom is popular. Ron said it right. And even though they literally committed criminal activity to stop Ron from his presidential bids, his legacy stands tall. And Jack and Ron, two of the great leaders of modern times. Now, what's interesting to me about Jack also, Lowell, and you mentioned this, but I want to highlight it again because it's so interesting. The reason he got involved in the JBS is because he was told that it was bogus. And he went and dug into it, and he found out that the guys that were claiming it was bogus were bogus, and it was true to blue, right?
That's right. He did that research because he was going to, you know, because William F. Buckley, you know, told him that the JBS was bad news. Well, Jack dug into it, discovered that the JBS was not evil, it was good, and then he later wrote a book exposing William F. Buckley and entitled Pied Piper for the Establishment.
And what I find fascinating about that, though, is if you really look at the troubled 60s, when the John Birch Society was literally telling the truth about the threat of communism, and they got attacked by all the communist sympathizers in the United States, leadership and in the media and everything else, and the John Birch Society really got a bad rap and a bad name by, in my opinion, libel, slander, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just absolute dishonesty about them. This is what led him to at first believe, oh, my gosh, you know, this is horrible. And so William and the media and the mainstream, all the communists got you to believe this negative about the JBS. And he literally took the time to dig in, which few do. But it made him a lifelong JBS supporter because the truth set him free. I want to really highlight that because that's really the tale to tell, not only about John, but about the JBS in general and the great New American Magazine.
And that's a lesson for the rest of us. We can do the same thing. Anybody who digs into and studies, scrutinizes the John Birch Society, its record, what it believes, the ideals it holds aloft, can also, for themselves, come to the same conclusion, the conclusion Jack came to, which was that the John Birch Society is truly fighting for freedom, for liberty, seeking to retain and regain the liberties that we've lost and preserve those that yet remain ours. Okay, so you must know we've lost a lot of ground over the years, over the past 200 years, but it's been the John Birch Society standing at each stopping and slowing this perilous journey toward serfdom. And I mean, it's been fantastic. The John Birch Society has done so much in defense of the Constitution, in defense of the role of government, Sam.
John F. McManus, my headline is R.I.P. Our Dear Brother! Exclamation point. Rest in peace. Our prayers are with you and your family, and thank heavens for your work on this side of the veil, and I have no doubt you'll continue the sacred work on the other side, helping us here in mortality as well. There's one other soundbite I want to play from Jack to kind of highlight this that we can talk about. His legacy and his life was so valuable and critical in the development and the advancement of the New American and the John Birch Society. Here he is now.
When our founding fathers decided they'd had enough of British oppression, they broke away and declared independence. They stated as self-evident truth in the Declaration of Independence that men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, God gave man his rights, and that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in the very next sentence, the founders defined the proper role of government when they stated that to secure these rights, governments are instituted. This is the entire philosophical base of our nation. Here, the government cannot legitimately redistribute the wealth, assume power over the people's lives, and dominate man's existence with oppressive taxation, regulations, and controls. According to the founders, government was to be a negative force, which leaves people alone. Its sole function is to protect citizens from one another and from foreign governments, and especially from their own government itself. The founders did not create a government to be a positive force, to do things for people, to take from some, to give to others. They understood that when a government starts doing something for one citizen, it has to take from another to do so. And in the process, it gains control over both.
There you have it. This just demonstrates his understanding, rivaled by few. But his ability to take complicated topics and put them on the kitchen table for the average American to understand was literally unparalleled, Lowell.
Absolutely right, Sam. And I'm so glad that you played that clip. I listened to that last Sunday night myself a couple of times because what he said is so profound and so true. And, you know, if we would, you know, I just wish the legislatures around the country would understand that. I mean, this idea that, you know, government, in order to, you know, give to some group, has to take from another, because government doesn't produce anything, no product, no service of its own self. It can only take from others, of other producers, in order to give to, you know, those who receive from the government. And, you know, that's socialism. That's exactly what socialism is. And we don't, you know, people don't like to, they don't like to admit that that's what we're doing. But schools, when we fund welfareism, when we fund food stamps, I mean, all of this is welfareism. This is socialism. And I just love the way that Jack calls a spade, without being corrosive, without being, distasteful in the way he does it. He just matter-of-factly lays out the information and helps us understand what's really going on, and helps us understand what the proper role of government is. So, wonderful teacher. You know, he's come to Utah many times and taught. I've attended a number of his lectures here in Utah over the years, and I would... You know, if he's within driving distance, I would go listen to him, and have appreciated the lessons that he's taught over the years. He actually wrote some books, Sam, in addition to the one on William F. Buckley, Pied Piper for the Establishment. Second book he wrote, Changing Commands. It warns of the perils of the United Nations military.
All right, we just lost Lowell, but yeah, he wrote a bunch of books, great educational books too, highlighting critical reality checks in America, the United Nations, threat to our liberty and our sovereignty for sure. R.I.P., our dear brother, John F. McManus was a man who spent his life fighting for his country, first as a Marine, then as a member of the John Birch Society, and then a leader. Yeah. Anyway, passed away at 89, and what a blessing he was in our lives. What a blessing. Anyway, we need great leaders like that, and it's sad to lose him on this earth, but we know that he's with his God. He's at rest. We know that he was a religious and a moral man, and that's key. And we know that I believe that we have life after this life, and he'll be living on the other side with his maker. And standing for the same causes that he stood for. Really, the man was larger than life in many ways. I don't want to put him on a pedestal that he was more than a man, because he's not, but he was an incredible man. I will say that for sure. Are you back, Lowell? Hi, Lowell. Hey, Lowell, are you there?
Okay. Yeah, just putting my headset back on. I'm here now.
No problem. You're live. I was just basically talking about Jack McManus a little bit, and what a great leader he really was. And he was a moral and a religious man. And that's really the key to his success. In many ways, he was larger than life. But I want to remind everybody, he was just a man, but he was a great man nevertheless. Any final thoughts on Jack or John McManus?
A gentleman. That's what I like to call him. a true gentleman, married to the same woman for, what did I say, 65 years.
That's incredible.
Just a marvelous man, and a great couple, obviously, because, you know, behind every successful man, there's one surprised wife, right, Sam?
Yeah, you got that right. All right, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin in the news. Lol.
This is an awesome story, Sam. Last Friday, he vetoed a bill that the Democrats there in Virginia had passed. This bill would have forced Virginia to get back into ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center. ERIC, it's an election system. It's bad news, folks, really bad news. And Virginia exited that system. They're one of nine states to get out over the past year or two. Well, the legislature in Virginia didn't like the fact that Governor Youngkin got out of ERIC, and so they passed a bill requiring him to re-enter ERIC, you know, renew the contract with ERIC. And he said, no way. He vetoed the bill. And it's let me see the part, the veto message. I was going to read from the veto message right down here. Here it is. Regarding Senate Bill 606, he says, the decision for the Commonwealth to exit the Electronic Registration Information Center, which is ERIC, in 2023 was a result of persistent management issues, improper data use, escalating costs, and the inability to meet statutory requirements for border state information sharing. ERIC's reluctance to implement reforms and address a bipartisan working group of member states' concerns reflects a departure from its core mission of improving voter roll accuracy, which called into question Virginia's continued participation. This is particularly concerning due to the controversy surrounding ERIC's sharing of personal information with external organizations. Now, let me stop right there. This veto message, Sam, this one sentence says it all about ERIC. He says, this is particularly concerning due to the controversy surrounding ERIC's sharing of personal information with external organizations. And so I'm going to continue to digress here for a moment, Sam. ERIC would share that information with NGOs in every state that they had an agreement with, so that those NGOs in those states then could call up those people and get them registered and get them out to vote. And if they didn't get out to vote, they would be able to cast a ballot for them because they were registered to vote, even though they wouldn't go cast a ballot themselves. That they knew that, okay, these folks haven't voted yet, because they know by the electronic poll books who has voted and who has not. Well, by the near the end of the day, if a big segment of voters hasn't voted, then they can cast ballots for them. They can stuff the ballot box with electronic ballots for and in behalf of those voters who never voted. And see, that's why this is a huge, huge problem. ERIC has been facilitating this voter fraud for years. That's why Virginia got out. And that's why I'm recommending that every state drops the contract with ERIC. They simply cannot continue to work with ERIC, because ERIC is working against our election system, and it's abrogating the franchise, the free exercise, your right to cast a vote, right? They are working against your right to cast your vote, and because they just stuff the ballot box with ballots and votes the way they want them to go, not the way you want them to go. Anyway, so let me finish his message here in the veto message. He says, since leaving ERIC, I don't have time to finish this off.
It's all right. I can't skip this break. We'll take this really quick. We'll come straight back where Lowell is. We got so much news the networks refuse to use, all available at campaignforliberty.org and on your radio. Lowell Nelson in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Six charges against former President Trump and other defendants in the Georgia election interference case have been dropped.
Georgia Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee dismissed charges related to solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer while keeping the remaining 41-count indictment intact. Judge McAfee will also decide if Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis remains on the case amidst conflict of interest allegations.
USA's John Schaefer. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., confirming earlier reports about his potential shortlist for VP candidates, he's speaking to NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as well as former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse Ventura. Kennedy confirmed he's in contact with both of the men, discussing the race for president, saying also that he's spoken to Rodgers pretty continuously. It's a bipartisan push to force the Chinese company in charge of TikTok to divest its ownership and hand over control of TikTok to an American company. U.S. lawmakers claim it's a move intended to protect Americans, not to ban TikTok.
I think the world we all want to live in is one in which ByteDance divests from TikTok and TikTok can continue under different ownership.
Republican Mike Gallagher said the current ownership structure is a threat to national security. A San Diego law firm's initiating a federal lawsuit against Philip Morris, alleging that the nicotine product Zyne is being marketed toward young individuals. The class action suit contends the flavored pouch product poses a health risk to consumers. Delta Airlines is increasing its checked bag fee. The airline announced the fee for a first and second checked bag will go up by $5 for most flights. It'll cost travelers $35 for the first checked bag and $45 for the second. Delta says this decision's meant to help the company deal with rising industry costs. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Your host is Sam Bushman, and he is giving me an opportunity, sharing the mic with me this morning. My name is Lowell Nelson, and we've been talking about ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, and how the fact that Virginia got out of ERIC in 2023. The legislature passed a bill forcing the governor to get back into ERIC, and then last week, Governor Youngkin vetoed that bill and said, we are not going back into ERIC, and he issued a veto statement explaining why that they were not getting back into ERIC. Turns out that the ERIC was sharing personal information with external organizations. These organizations
But only in the liberal extreme organizations, not people like us, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. These are organizations that were funded by sources that the General Assembly in Virginia has, on a bipartisan basis, prohibited Virginia's election officials from accepting, right? And so they basically, the election officials in Virginia cannot work with these organizations, and yet these organizations were funding ERIC and were getting information from ERIC. So basically the leftist organization. So the financial burden of rejoining ERIC includes membership fees, which have increased more than 100% since 22, and participation expenses. So ERIC's mandatory eligible but unregistered mailing will cost the Commonwealth hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is superfluous considering Virginia's Department of Motor Vehicles automatic registration policies and same-day registration for voting. So why spend the money on ERIC is basically what he's saying. anyway, so he says, at the, closing his veto statement, he says, I have been explicitly clear about my affirmation of the legitimacy of our elections. My focus is safeguarding Virginians' private information and continuously improving an efficient, cost-effective voter registration system. Accordingly, I veto the bill. End of quote. Well, so we can applaud Governor Youngkin's veto there, his action safeguarding Virginia from ERIC. You know, because, see, ERIC, just to give an example of the problem with ERIC, right? I mean, it was formed supposedly to clean the voter rolls, but this doesn't happen. The voter rolls were never cleaned up in the ERIC states. A good example of this is Wisconsin, a state that uses the ERIC system. And yet, Wisconsin has 7.06 million registered voters, but the state has only 3.6 million eligible voters. So they have twice.
You got a problem with that, Lowell? How are we going to win if we change that now? See, that's what's going on. The problem that I have with ERIC is that this idea that they can move, that the government responsible for this can move these election rolls to a third party controlled by partisans, if you will, and that third party then does not have the same guidelines as the government does. So you can do FOIA requests or grandma requests and get data about things when it's the government. When it's moved to this third party again, now you lose the ability to have any transparency or access or demand accountability there. That's the biggest problem I have with ERIC.
Well, and that's the same problem I have, Sam, because they know who votes and who doesn't, because historically people, you know, if you don't vote, it's because you don't care to vote, right? And so what's going to make you care? Well, probably not much. So you'll continue to be a non-voter. But if they can get you to register, they can cast a ballot for you. And there have been
more than once, even, by the way, if you're not very careful. Our buddies over Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips at True the Vote have rolled out this thing where you can click on a link and see if you're registered in more states than you think you are. So that's going on too via these rolls, Lowell.
That's exactly right. And so it ends up being that all of these people who don't cast a vote, thousands and thousands of people who did not vote, they, according to the election officials, did vote. Well, who cast the ballot for them? If they didn't cast it themselves, well, it's these NGOs, it's these other organizations that want to tilt the scale, and, you know, put their thumb on the scale They're the ones who are casting these ballots for the people who don't vote. And yet the official election officials, you know, it's recorded as these people as having voted. Big problem with Eric. Anyway, hats off to Governor Youngkin for standing up to his legislature, vetoing this bill and not renewing his contract with Eric.
Sam? And here's some statistics to highlight the point you're making. Sadly, I just wrote shame in front of the headline. Shame. Mm-hmm. Utah is one of five founding Eric member states. What is it? Mm-hmm. Maryland, Colorado, Utah, Washington, and Nevada. I guess those are the five mm-hmm. shame states, I would say. The following 19 states are still in Eric. Lol. The founding five plus?
The founding five plus: Maine, Vermont, Connecticut, South Carolina, Georgia, Kentucky, Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, New Mexico, Arizona, Oregon, and Alaska. But
I would say shame on the founding five states. I would say shame on the following 19 states that are involved. But I got to give kudos to, lol,
the nine states that left Eric. And those nine states are Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Missouri, Iowa, Ohio, Virginia, and West Virginia.
So, and then there's the best group of all, lol.
This group of 22 states, they are the ones smart enough never to have joined Eric. New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Delaware, New York, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Tennessee, Indiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, California, and Hawaii.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Why do we spend so much time on this, folks? Well, it's because Eric allows these states to inflate their voter rolls before Election Day and then deflate them afterwards. That's one way that our elections are being stolen. It's easier now than ever before because these data are on computers, and computers can be hacked. Easily hacked. In fact,
now let me highlight this, lull, to make my point. So the reason that I said that they're shielded from scrutiny by being this third party Eric, government mm-hmm. has no authority to delegate behind a firewall, so to speak, this capability. So when they inflate the rolls and then reduce the rolls and do what they do, see, we can't even demand records to prove what they've done because it's all third party secret. Government has no authority to transmit this responsibility to this third party. With agendas, right? And that's really the problem with this whole thing. We beg you to get your states out of Eric. Do so immediately, and especially Utah and the five member founding states. Shame on y'all. And you should know better now and follow Glenn Youngkin's example. Lol.
This is an election year, folks, right? And so as you vet the candidates and listen to the town halls and so forth, then you make sure that those candidates know you want your state to get out of Eric. I mean, you vote. Don't even vote for a candidate who's willing to stay with Eric, who doesn't think that the elections have problems. We want people, we want candidates, we want public officials who understand the problems with Eric. I mean, this is proven over and over again, folks, that the Eric causes problems with the voter rolls, and this inflation deflation goes on every single election. You need to get out of Eric. You need to get rid of your electronic poll books, go back to paper, get rid of the computers. I'm a computer programmer. These things are hackable. There is no system that's 100% secure. No system, absolutely not. And we get reports every week of some new breach of data, where data gets hacked and then distributed onto the internet. Every single week, there's two or three times a week, we get reports of hacking going on. I don't care who you are. If you've got data on a computer, it can be hacked. So let's elect people who promise to get out of Eric, and then we will be able to more easily take our elections back, folks. We are the government. We need to act like it. We need to take that back from these private organizations that are, you know, using our data against us. Sam?
I agree 100%, but I think people should put together a national lawsuit. If I had money and time, I'd be the one to do it. I just don't have enough of either. But I think you should sue all member states in ERIC and just say you have no authority to move these voter rolls to this private third party with an agenda where there's no scrutiny, where literally, FOIA requests, go ahead and skip the break, where FOIA requests, et cetera, are just taken off the table. That alone, in my opinion, would be grounds for a significant lawsuit to make this more transparent, et cetera. All right, enough of that, but get out of ERIC ASAP. All right, Steve Nikawi is up for discussion. Lol.
He, Sam, he's the father of Marine Corps Lance Corporal Kareem Nikawi, who was this Marine was killed in action. Okay, he was killed. So his dad goes to the State of the Union address. He was probably, he was invited there by a member of Congress. And while he was there, he stood up and yelled at President Joe Biden during the State of the Union address. Okay, I listened to the clip, and basically he was shouting Abbey Gate, right? And the United States Marines, he was shouting it from the balcony in the House chambers. While President Biden spoke about foreign policy, he's making the claim that America is safer today than when he took office in January 21. And so Mr. Nikawi was shouting Abbey Gate. Why did he say Abbey Gate? Because it was at that gate that his son was killed. There was a suicide bomber detonated explosives outside the Abbey Gate at the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, Afghanistan, killing dozens of people, including Mr. Nikui's 20-year-old son and 12 other U.S. service members. And so for Biden to say that we're safer because, he's in office is simply not true. In August, the 6 months after he was inaugurated, this happened. The suicide bomber killed 13 people, service members, and Mr. Nikui's son was one of them. Well, Mr. Nikui shouted Abbey Gate from the balcony there during the speech, and he was arrested. He was arrested for doing that, for shouting during the State of the Union address. But in contrast, Representative Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin said this. He said, well, it's interesting because I just walked by Congressman Jamal Bowman, who intentionally pulled the fire alarm, which is a felony in the District of Columbia, and he was not arrested, right? So you got this double standard going on.
Yeah. You got the people above the law, and you got the rest of us. We see it over and over and over and over, and more proof in the pudding, right, Lol?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, so this fellow who, Jamal Bowman, who pulled the fire alarm, he pulled the fire alarm because he didn't want the vote to happen. They were taking a vote in the House, and he didn't want the vote to happen, and so he pulled the fire alarm, and just to get out of the vote that day. And that's a felony, but he never got arrested. No, he's not accountable. But boy, if you shout something, if you speak the truth during the State of the Union address, boy, you're going to get arrested. We're going to hold you accountable, folks. So it's a double standard big time, Sam.
I agree 100%. And what I don't understand is this. Why would you arrest this guy? See, I don't understand why you would cause trouble and just add insult to injury to the Ford family. Now, I agree he's lashing out. It may not be the place to do it. I understand all that. But you can de-escalate. You don't have to get crazy. You can appease him. Just pull him aside and say, Steve, you know what? I know you're frustrated. I get it and everything else. We don't want this to turn into a clown show. How can we, have a clarion call for civility? How can we sit down and hear you? How can we be understanding? A lot could have been done there. They just don't have, these elites don't have any respect for us at all. And sometimes when folks like Steve do that, they don't have any other avenue. So they're pushed to the brink of last resort is the problem. We need to give them better, appropriate First Amendment redress of grievance opportunities. In my opinion, that's the problem, Lowell. And if they don't get a handle on this, they're going to create a civil war. I don't want it. I'm just telling you, at some point, when we are continually denied all five guarantees in the First Amendment, along with the Second Amendment, at some point, the gloves will come off and people will not tolerate it. Now, I'm not advocating for that as much as I'm warning against it, to say, look, that's what they're creating. And this is more proof in the pudding. More peaceful encounters like this where the government uses a heavy hand. It's going to go wrong because it angers us and frustrates us. And eventually, we feel like there's no avenue for solutions. That's when we have real problems,
Right, Sam. We want congressmen to have the courage to stand up for righteousness, right? I mean, this double standard should not stand. And so if you're going to arrest somebody for that, then you better be arresting Jamal Bowman for what he did. It's like a referee in a basketball game or a football game, Sam, either one. If they're not consistent in their calls, then you get really, really upset. You know, if they're letting the calls go on one end of the floor, but making calling fouls on the other end of the floor, that's wrong, because they're not being consistent. They're treating one team differently than the other. And that's what we have going on with the elites, the political class. They get treated like with kid gloves, and then the rest of us, the untouchables, right, we get
treated.
Well,
look at Joe. Hey, he willfully violated classified document laws. Don't worry, mm-hmm. he's an elderly man that's forgetful and stuff. He doesn't mean any harm. Hillary Clinton literally uses bleach bit to destroy data on hard drives. Literally, her staff using sledgehammers to destroy evidence. Oh, for Hillary, no harm, no foul, no problem for her. Bill Clinton rapes women and they make allegations. They mock them as bimbo eruptions and reject them. Where's the Me Too movement when you need them? But we see this over and over and over with Joe Biden and Barack Obama both having classified documents. They both get a pass, but Donald Trump doesn't. Well, it gets worse because Joe Biden's classified documents were when he didn't even have authority or right to have them and or declassify them. He was vice president and a senator when most of these documents were, some of them are 40 years old. Again, willful violation, repeated violation, intentional. They say Joe Biden cooperated. Lies. He cooperated in a minimal way. He admitted to them. But he literally delayed the pay dirt, the release about this, till after the election, and then manipulated it as if he was the cooperating party along the way. He's not cooperating. It turns out that he lied, that he said about these seven places where the documents were, that they were all secure, that they were under lock and key and filing cabinets. That turned out to be a blatant lie. He's not cooperating at all. That's just a lie the mainstream press is telling you, But the double standard continually gets highlighted. And if it's allowed to stand, I'm telling you right now, it'll eventually mean a revolution in this country. You cannot have elites mm-hmm. in secret combinations rule over us, arrest us, harass us, abuse us, spy on us, and eventually there will be consequences. I hope to have peaceful consequences using the supreme law of the land to restore the country by the rule of law. The only question left is, will they let us do that,
Wow. And it goes beyond our borders, Sam. Like, people don't understand how many people Israel has killed, and that the United States is supplying money and armaments to Israel to help them kill these people. I'm talking about the murder in Gaza, where the death toll is now over 31,000 people killed there, Sam, and at least 70,000 seriously injured. This is not counting the long-term effects of malnutrition and starvation. Now, most of these people who have been killed, Sam, they are women and children. That's just astonishing to me. Astonishing to me. Over 31,000, most of them women and children, have been killed in Gaza because of Israeli bombs and tank fire. And who's supporting them? The Biden administration. How come Joe Biden is not held accountable for this murder? How come we give him a pass and we give the political elite a pass on this kind of murder going on, murdering our brothers and sisters in Gaza, and they're not held accountable for it? It just boggles my mind. 2,000-pound bombs on residential buildings.
And really, for what purpose, though, What are we even accomplishing? This is like the Vietnam stupidity. We don't even have a plan of execution, a solution at the end of the day. What are we even doing with this?
I don't get it, Sam. I don't understand why the political elite in this country I don't understand why they want to bomb people and kill people, and I don't understand why the American people don't hold them accountable for these crimes. These are war crimes. We haven't passed some declaration of war, and yet we're funding the murder of these people in Gaza.
They need to impeach Joe and then push for prosecution to the fullest extent of the law for his war crimes. That's the bottom line, Lowell. There is no way to sugarcoat this reality.
We Americans ought to be ashamed of Biden and his administration. They're infiltrated. They're directed by far-right neocons. They don't represent America's values or traditions. Gaza, Sam, Gaza will remain a major crime, as well as a dark stain on Americans' honor. Think about this. When you compare it to the Warsaw Ghetto, okay? This is a column by Eric Margolis. He writes this: Israel's North American partisans keep running old films about the Holocaust to help justify their laying waste to Gaza. But he says, we ought to remember there were fewer than half the numbers of Jews in the besieged Warsaw Ghetto than there are today Palestinians in Gaza, right? So they're less than half the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto as compared with the Palestinians in Gaza.
Yeah, and they make that ghetto one is the quintessential issue, and there's many issues that rival it and exceed it if you look at Holodomor and many others. Please ask your member of Congress, ladies and gentlemen, why is the U.S. helping kill our Palestinian brothers and sisters? Why are we backing Israel to do that? The U.S. must stop funding such atrocities ASAP, lol.
And now's the perfect time to be asking your congressmen about this. They're in election season, right? They're running to retain their seat in Congress. And so at every opportunity, town hall meetings, or if they call you up on the phone and ask for your support, you ask them why the U.S. is helping Israel kill our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Somebody needs to be held accountable for this. This is a war crime.
Everywhere our 535 members of Congress go and everywhere presidential candidates go, we need this to be one of the top issues at the list. Also, why is the FDA and the United States Post Office shipping murder medication for chemical abortions around the country, even in states that prohibit it by law? We need to start to take action and hold these people accountable. One last ironic situation, lol.
Yeah, the journalist who demanded concentration camps for the unvaccinated, well, he died last week. I don't applaud anybody's death, but it's somewhat ironic because he probably took all of the clot shots, and then he's saying anybody who doesn't get vaccinated, they need to be herded into concentration camps. And, well, this journalist who wanted us to be herded into concentration camps, well, he died. And it reminds me of the scripture that, you know, anybody who digs a pit for his neighbor ends up in that very pit. And that's what happened. Ian Vendale is his name. He was hospitalized and then declared neurologically dead. They don't say what his cause of death was.
Yeah, we need to dig and get the answers to that, too, because I think the vaccinations might have just killed him there. That's a hunch to which I'm entitled, people. But it's interesting. He was very young, too, right, Lowell?
33 years old, yep.
Wow.
I think the clot shots got him, Sam.
I pray for his family, nevertheless, and I don't celebrate anyone's death. I think it's a tragedy. I just wish that people could come to their senses on the truth. We should be free to self-determination. We should have free association, and the government should not spy on any of us, a.k.a. the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, not to mention the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, where they lack complete authority in the first place. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride, Lowell Nelson. Every time you're on the radio, it's killer, hard-hitting, educational talk. Thank you so much, sir.
Love you, brother. Thanks for being with you.
There he goes, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Get involved with your chapter today. They're doing phenomenal work everywhere and on campuses. It's Young Americans for Liberty. Check that out. I am Sam Bushman for Lowell Nelson. God save the Republic of the United States of America.